The shining silver Sony Pictures logo appears into view, then looms forwards, disappearing. It is replaced by large straight-edged capital letters, spelling out Stage 6 Films. A Sony company. Stage 6 Films presents a Woods Entertainment and Joe Bro production in association with Acute Media. Produced with the participation of Telefilm Canada. Sun shines on the empty road of a suburban street, thick leafy green trees lining its edges. The sun peeks out from behind the roof of a large red brick house. Wearing a short red and black check dress and black strapped shoes, a blonde-haired girl walks down a pavement, a pink rucksack hung over her shoulders. As she steps forwards, a dark-coloured car travels down the road in parallel with her, covered by the shadows of the trees. Noticing the vehicle, she slows as it stops. Peering towards the car, she gives a small wave as if recognising its unseen occupant. Hesitating slightly, she waits, then walks forwards, disappearing from view. The Kid Detective, audio description by Kenneth Blair. Lying sleeping wrapped amongst the sheets of a messy bed is a dark-haired, unshaven man in his 30s. Rolling over, he retrieves a phone, holding it to his ear.
Hello?
Are you still in bed?
No, I've been up for a while.
Now stood in front of a mirror, his hangdog reflection is displayed as he looks down concerned and sniffs. A young man waits outside the bathroom door. Picking up a pill bottle from a table, the downbeat man removes the lid and empties the remaining contents into his hand before swallowing them down. Now in his kitchen, he opens the back door to a dark-haired woman and grey-haired man.
We brought you some groceries.
Thanks. Jesus. I know, it's not me.
The man now sits in the living room facing his visitors.
So what's new?
Your mom's biopsy came back benign.
Really? Cool.
You should go. Get your moles checked out too.
Yeah, definitely.
How are your finances?
They're okay.
Credit card?
Could be worse.
You know we're not bailing you out again.
I had a big case last week.
Really? What was it?
You know I'm not supposed to talk about that stuff. This gay guy wanted me to find out whether another guy was gay.
Was he?
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, that's nice.
Later in a bar, the man sits alone as a bearded barman busies himself in front of him.
What's on your mind, dude?
Should I be worried if my pee smells like fish?
Yeah, maybe.
You know Vari Beans is in the back, right?
So what?
Just leave, man. We're not gonna judge you.
Staring the barman down, he drinks from his beer glass. Later in a dark car park, a fight is in progress.
I used to be loved. I used to be a kid detective. When I was 13, I solved the case of the missing fundraiser money. It was Rory Beans, the neighborhood knucklehead.
In a flashback, a treehouse is perched upon thick tree branches.
In the beginning, I ran my trade out of a treehouse.
Somebody stole the basketball magazines from my desk.
Can you remember what else was in the cubby?
My pencils, erasers, some peanut butter cups, a photo of my bird.
But nothing else was taken. It was Clive Cunningham.
How do you know?
He's the only one allergic to peanuts.
Wow. Thanks, Abe.
Whenever we watched movies as a family, I would always spot the bad guy.
It was the bald man.
His parents looked to one another proudly.
And guess the ending in the second act.
She poisoned his drink.
This isn't mine, my
was bourbon. Well, sure, as you saw me pour it.
Seth Barry used to be nice, but now he's mean. I need you to find out what happened.
Somebody keeps borrowing my bicycle without asking permission.
I found this in the park. I need to know what it is.
I noticed some blood on my dad's car. I want you to find out what happened.
Are you sure?
Money is dropped into a jar. Later, a man is led out from a house by police. The inquiring boy watches on sadly from a window.
I saw that Constable Cleary was in the yard again.
He wanted to catch me up on some of the latest cases.
Oh, that's so cute.
Son, we want you to know how impressed we are. I have never seen a young person take such initiative for the sake of their community.
I was 12 when someone finally chopped down my treehouse.
A blue sign reads Town of Willowbrook.
The town raised enough money to set me up with a real office in the middle of Main Street. The mayor's daughter, Gracie, was my secretary. I used to pay her in soda pop.
Are you back at Mom's office? Oh, hi, Daddy. He's in with Principal Irwin. Want me to take a message?
Somebody stole the cash box from the school fundraiser.
What was it for?
Animal rescue.
Rory Beans was bit by a dog last summer.
Someone's been sneaking up the clock tower, changing the time.
Sounds like the Red Shoe Gang.
Don't you have a boy on the inside?
Not anymore. He kept getting grounded.
A framed newspaper headline states kid detective ties Red Shoe Gang to recent acts of vandalism. Abe hangs it beside other framed clips.
I was often in one of those situations where you're looking for evidence in a house, and then you hear the owner come home, so you have to hide. And it keeps seeming like they're going to open the closet, but they don't. And then you sneeze and give yourself away.
Abe looks up at a white-haired woman.
Oh my God, that's adorable. Bill, come and look at this.
In a sweet shop cafe.
One day, while taking a stroll, it suddenly occurred to me who had robbed Mr. Hepburn's candy store. I was awarded free ice cream for life.
Here you go, Abe.
Thanks, Mr. H.
Out on the street.
Morning, Abe.
So cute.
Hi, Abe.
At a rock concert.
As a reward for all my hard work, I was invited to play drums for Sharkwater at the annual fall barbecue. Sometimes I would lie awake all night and wonder if I was the smartest person in the world.
Gracie and a friend walk down a suburban street.
Oh my God, I met this super cute boy at the record store last weekend.
You're always meeting cute boys. It's driving me up the wall.
A car slows on the road nearby.
See you later.
See you later.
Wearing a pink rucksack, the young girl walks off alone.
It's been nearly 2 weeks since the abduction of 14-year-old Gracie Gulliver, and the local anxiety continues to mount.
I can't believe it. She comes in my store all the time. Things like this aren't supposed to happen here.
The mayor and his wife released this emotional statement on Tuesday.
Hello?
Hey, Abe. It's Mindy Martingrove.
Oh, hi.
I was just wondering, how much longer do you think it'll take you to find Gracie?
I'm not sure.
My mom told me not to tell you this, but we're all really counting on you. I know you can do it.
Abe's office is dimly lit. Drawings of various men are pinned to a board alongside written notes. Sat at the desk, Abe sorts through a handful of opened envelopes. Later, his mother tucks him into bed, his sheets decorated with aeroplanes.
Constable Cleary still hasn't called me back.
Try and get some sleep, sweetheart. You have to stop torturing yourself. She knows you're thinking about her.
She switches off a lamp. In the darkness of the room, a framed photo of Abe and Gracie is visible. His hands held upon his chest, the young man stares up at the ceiling. Glow-in-the-dark stars and a crescent moon loom closer before fading to black. The adult Abe wakes in bed, his face bruised. Sitting up, he answers his mobile phone.
Hello.
Where the hell are you?
It's Sunday.
Wincing at his bruised expression in a mirror, the toilet seat drops. Opening his plastic pill bottle, he finds it empty. Daytime. The same blue sign stating Town of Willowbrook still juts out from a lamppost. Abe walks alone down the now less than picturesque main street of the town.
Morning, Mr. Ackerman.
A surly-looking barber glares at Abe, then returns to sweeping. Stepping up a ramp, Abe approaches the entrance to a building, graffiti marking the wall to its left. Now in a corridor, he approaches a door numbered 305 and enters.
Hey, sorry I'm late.
Who did that?
Some idiot I got suspended 20 years ago. He stole the fundraiser money from the principal's office.
And he's still pissed?
His parents were about to buy him a hunting kit.
The widow Gulliver was here, but she got tired of waiting.
Is she coming back?
The frustrated man approaches a door Abe Applebaum Detective printed across its frosted glass panel and enters. A stream of whiskey is poured into a patterned glass tumbler. Abe takes a drink. Now he sits, a photo of a black cat held in his hand.
Didn't I just find him?
That was a year ago.
He places down the photo.
So you're worried he's been hit by a car or something?
If it was a simple accident, someone would have called, wouldn't they? He's wearing his tags.
Well, we're coming up on Halloween. It's possible he was using some kind of satanic ritual.
What?
This is Willowbrook. You know what kids are like these days.
This guy in my homeroom, Henry Hooper, claims he was in New York over the summer and practiced with the Mets. I need to find out if he's lying.
He's lying.
I have a $50 bill.
Let me see it.
Mr. Hepburn smiles, handing over a chocolate ice cream cone. His face drops as a sheepish Abe approaches.
Butter pecan, please.
The sullen confectioner returns from a chiller with the detective's free ice cream.
Thank you.
Back on the main town street, it is dusk as Abe walks alone carrying his ice cream. Continuing on his way, he's eaten as far down as the cone. As approaching a bridge, he stops beside a group of onlookers who lean on a railing. Red and blue emergency lights flash ahead as figures stand in the river, one holding a flashlight.
What's going on?
The red and blue lights continue to illuminate the men and their work. An emotionless Abe watches on from his vista on the bridge, poking the remains of the ice cream cone into his mouth before departing. Now in his apartment, Abe plays the drums. Lifting a beer bottle, Abe watches as his young flatmate enters the kitchen, staring towards him.
Oh, good. Got my text. Nothing worse than walking home with just toilet paper. Everybody knows you need to take a shit. I'll get it next time.
Yeah, sure.
Abe holds his phone to his ear.
Hi, is this Mrs. Hooper? This is going to sound strange, but did your son play baseball at the Mets last summer? He didn't. Okay. Thank you very much.
Morning in the town of Willowbrook. A car speeds down a suburban street. A black cat crosses an empty road. An old woman pushes a trolley. The main street looks run down. Abe paces past alone. Carrying a brown paper bag, he enters his office. His gothic-looking secretary looks up from her desk.
There's a girl in your office.
What? Who is she?
I don't know.
Abe approaches his office door and stops.
What's the matter?
Forgot to brush my teeth today.
He enters the office, closing the door behind him. Sat before his desk, facing away from Abe, is a blonde-haired girl. Carefully placing the paper bag down, he approaches in her direction.
Sorry to keep you waiting. I was out on a case.
It's okay. I stole a magazine from reception.
Some cool stories in there.
The young girl watches as Abe settles in his seat, fidgeting as he attempts to make himself comfortable.
Lucy forgot to get your name.
Caroline.
Can I fix you a drink?
No, thank you.
How about some water? It gets pretty hot in here.
Sure. Yeah.
Could you bring Caroline a bottle of water?
From where?
The store.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
It's okay, really.
It's no trouble at all.
Looking round, the girl's eyes fall on the wall of framed newspaper headlines highlighting Abe's childhood successes.
So when's the last time you solved a case?
I solve them all the time. I just stop putting my picture in the paper.
She reaches for a framed photo.
Who's that?
That's me and Mary Gulliver.
Isn't he the one who hung himself?
He also founded the Potato Festival.
I've actually been here before.
Oh, yeah?
About 5 years ago. Someone stole a silver brooch at my 11th birthday party. You solved it in less than an hour.
That's probably why I don't remember.
You asked which of my friends had the most cake.
It's an old trick. When you answer a question like that, your memory becomes extremely selective. You're really telling me who you trust the least, without even knowing it.
Cool.
It only fails if you have a really fat friend.
Caroline nods, looking round as Lucy enters.
Jesus.
Her hood pulled up, the sullen receptionist slams the bottle of water on Abe's desk, then stalks out of the room.
So what can I help you with today?
I have another case I was hoping you might consider.
Of course.
Somebody murdered my boyfriend.
Abe looks surprised.
Seriously?
Pretty seriously. He was stabbed 17 times.
Looking lost for words, the hangdog Abe turns away, his mouth open. The wide-eyed Caroline stares back at him in hope as they sit facing one another, sun streaming in the office windows. Later, Abe enters the kitchen. In the next room, his parents and other family members sit around a table.
Hi. Sorry I'm late.
Oh, your face looks better.
Well, why? What happened?
He was in a bar fight. It wasn't like that.
It's an occupational hazard.
When he was in high school, kids used to throw beer bottles at the house.
Oh, that's awful.
You reek of alcohol.
How's the sleuthing?
Not bad.
You know, we really admire that you're still doing that, sticking it out. It takes a lot of courage. You always knew what you wanted to do, and you're not giving up. You're living your truth.
Thanks.
What are you working on?
He's not supposed to talk about his cases.
Actually, got a pretty big one today.
Oh, yeah? What was it?
Did you hear about that kid? The one they found in the river a couple weeks ago?
We were telling them earlier.
Seems like the police are getting nowhere with the local youth, so his girlfriend hired me to find out what happened.
Seriously?
Yeah. Did some work for her a few years back.
What'd you tell her?
I told her I'd think about it.
You can't take that case.
Why not?
Well, it wouldn't be fair. You don't have the experience.
I've solved over 200 mysteries.
How many of them have been murders? You're taking advantage of this young girl's naivete.
She's not even paying me.
Then what are you doing it for? Isn't this your job, or are you still working for quarters?
It's like you've forgotten who I am.
Who are you?
Abe Applebaum. I solved the case of the missing time capsule when I was 12 years old. The mayor gave me the key to the fucking city.
The frustrated Abe turns away. The two young children at the table smile at one another.
Finally, after all this time, somebody trusts me. The real case. A chance to prove myself. You're telling me I shouldn't take it?
Abe stares at his father, who blinks first.
Good for you, Abe.
Stop, please. It is inadvertently patronizing. I know you don't mean it to be, but it is.
Abe's mother stares down as his chastened aunt and uncle lift their wine glasses, as does his father. Daytime. The shimmering waters of a river flow in the morning light. Eyes closed, Abe is in the shower, his hair and face drenched. Now in his office, he sits holding a photo of a smiling young man stood before a lake. A hopeful Caroline stands before him.
You heard of the Red Shoe Gang?
Of course. Everyone knows not to go near the boiler room.
What's the boiler room?
The biker bar. Where they all hang out?
Oh, right. Used to be called the Steamer.
What does this have to do with Patrick?
Well, he was stabbed 17 times. Usually when that happens, it's because you've pissed off the wrong people. Is it possible he was involved in something dangerous?
Such as?
Drugs?
No. He would never do drugs.
Gambling?
No, he would never gamble.
Demon worship?
No, he would never worship a demon.
Tell me about his home life.
His parents were super strict. He had the highest grades in our year.
Is it possible the pressure was too much for him?
He was a good person. He wanted to do well.
In this line of work, you learn one thing quickly. Everybody has secrets. No matter how simple a case may seem, it's always shocking what you find. I just want you to be prepared.
The innocent-looking Caroline nods wide-eyed. A large white cloud billows across a blue sky. Now in a convertible car, Caroline drives Abe sat beside her. They pass by a selection of houses in the Willowbrook suburbs.
Where do you want to start?
Shouldn't we talk to his parents?
I don't know, that's a bit heavy, isn't it? Why don't we get warmed up first?
His friend Billy works a few blocks away.
They slow down in a back alley.
His family runs the butcher shop?
Yeah, why?
I was working a case here the other week.
Really? What was it?
Nothing that serious. His dad might be a homosexual.
Holy smokes.
Don't say anything.
A boy in a white apron descends a set of stairs and approaches the vehicle.
Hey, Billy.
Hi, Caroline. Who's this guy?
Oh, he's a really awesome detective. He's gonna help me find out who killed Patrick.
How many murders have you solved?
I have to ask you some questions. I need you to be completely honest with me. Now, I know what it's like at that school. Drugs are more popular than milk. To the best of your knowledge, did Patrick have any contact with the kids on the stoop or the wild geese?
This guy has no idea what he's doing.
Yeah, well, your dad is gay.
Caroline looks at Abe in disbelief, then turns to Billy, who slowly blinks, then turning, retreats back up the stairs. Abe purses his lips.
Who else lives around here?
Can I offer you something to drink?
Are those cupcakes I smell?
Sorry, they're from my sister's class. My mom counted them.
Is it her birthday or something?
No, she's just not very popular.
Calvin, come upstairs, please.
Sorry, be right back.
The chunky young man jogs away. Left alone in the room, Caroline picks up a photo of Calvin with his family, while Abe approaches a window, pushing it open slightly.
What are you doing?
It's an old trick. Always open a window, wherever you're invited.
Why?
In case you need to sneak back in.
They turn simultaneously. Now they sit in two armchairs facing Calvin, seated on a sofa. Caroline looks to a poker-faced Abe.
What's the matter? Would it be easier if she left the room?
No, it's okay. Caroline, I know you think Patrick was this perfect boyfriend, but he was a lot more complicated than he allowed you to believe.
What do you mean?
Give us an example.
He used to collect bottle caps.
So?
He had thousands. It was compulsive.
Anything else?
Yeah. He lied about movies he hadn't actually seen or books he hadn't actually read.
Everybody does that.
He was very impatient with handicapped people.
Was he cheating on her or something?
Why?
He seemed pretty determined to shit on his grave.
I'm sorry, Caroline. You shouldn't have found out this way.
What are you talking about?
He had a concubine.
What's that?
Sort of like a second girlfriend.
Who?
I don't know, but she sounded kind of wild.
What the hell does that mean?
He would brag about the stuff she did.
Such as?
Calvin glances at Caroline and leans towards Abe.
Put her hand on his penis.
That's not so bad. What else?
Put his penis in her mouth.
You know, there are euphemisms for these things.
Yeah, but I didn't want to sound vulgar.
How do you know he wasn't making it up?
He had a picture hidden in his locker.
He didn't recognize her.
She was wearing a tiger mask. That's all she was wearing.
I don't believe you.
I'm sorry, Caroline. I wouldn't say it if I wasn't sure.
Abe slowly turns towards Caroline. Nighttime. A red neon sign above a diner reads Oaks. Inside, Abe faces Caroline, sat in a booth.
God, those
cupcakes were killing me.
Caroline is not listening. Her vacant eyes stare down. Noting his client's sad expression, Abe places down his toasted sandwich.
So how long were you together?
3 months. But that's high school time.
It's like six.
I don't know. I thought he was different from the others.
Because he was a geek?
He was cultured. I kept finding these origami roses in my locker. On days when I had a test or something.
How'd you know they were from him?
He was the only Asian in her school.
I remember when girls still went for the star quarterback.
Nobody cares about football.
God, this town got cynical.
Did it?
Look at this place. On Saturday night, this was the center of the universe. They used to serve breakfast for dinner and dinner for breakfast.
Why?
To be funny.
Close to tears, Caroline looks down. Abe stares towards her.
Are you sure you want to continue?
Yeah, it won't feel real until they understand.
Then we gotta break into the school.
Why?
I'm gonna look for that photograph.
She gives a small nod. Leaning down, Abe drinks from the straw of his cup. An entrance of a large school building is illuminated in the darkness. Carrying a torch, Abe and Caroline appear walking across a roof of the building.
Shit.
What?
You replaced the vent.
I think there might be a window open on the other side.
Why is that?
The art class has been oil painting.
So?
Mrs. August is pregnant. She might be more sensitive to the fumes.
Are you making fun of me or something?
She shakes her head. Abe heads off in another direction. Now inside the dimly lit building, they pass a row of lockers. Caroline smiles towards Abe.
What's that noise?
It must be the overnighters.
Who?
You know, the kids who hide out at the school over the weekend.
Good fucking God.
Rounding a corner, Caroline's torchlight falls on more blue lockers.
This was his locker.
Shit.
What?
Cops already cleared it. Just a bunch of fucking bodies.
As Caroline watches, Abe kicks out in frustration.
I still have his jacket.
A red glow lighting the walls, now they descend a stairwell. Abe watches on as an unseen figure rushes past him. Now in another corridor, they look down into a gym where people stand talking and skateboarding. Abe looks down through the darkness. In the corridor ahead, a couple approach. Caroline smiles and Abe nods as they pass. The young girl checks over her shoulder. Reaching another bank of lockers, she stops and unlocks the door. Inside hangs a blue coat, which she takes out and hands to the waiting Abe. Placing a hand in a pocket, he produces then drops a ragged tissue.
Oh, gross.
More tissues.
Oh, Jesus.
Sorry.
Caroline allows her torchlight to fall on the pile of ragged tissues. Checking in another pocket, Abe produces a small pill bottle.
Oh, thank God.
Unscrewing the lid, Abe stops, staring into the container.
What the hell?
Shining her torch into the bottle, Caroline's eyebrows raise in shock before she looks up at Abe. Now at home, he holds a blue and white pill capsule in his fingers. Sat on his sofa, Abe lifts his phone to his ear.
Yeah.
How did you know it was me?
I didn't.
I need you to put me in touch with your drug dealer.
What? No.
I want to ask him some questions.
About these pills I found.
Why don't you ask your drug dealer?
Because we have a
special relationship. I don't want to ruin that.
So go talk to the kids on the stoop.
No.
Why? Are you afraid they'll make fun of you?
Yeah, right.
Staring down, Abe holds the pill up between his fingers once more before placing it into his mouth and taking a drink of water from a glass. daytime. On a wall ahead sits a group of youths. Abe and Caroline watch them from her car.
So, that's the stew?
Technically, it's a concrete divider.
Check it out. What's up, apple bum?
Abe approaches the long-haired leader.
You know what these are?
Opening the bottle, Abe shows it around the group.
Holy shit.
Yeah? Answer my questions, I'll give you some.
Called Eagle Boosters.
What do they do?
Give you that extra nudge. You want to ask out a girl or do some stand-up? They improve your self-esteem.
Looks like you guys could use some.
They also get you super jacked.
Why don't I feel anything?
They take a while to kick in, depending on how insecure you normally are.
How much is this bottle worth?
Like a grand. Great, now he's not going to give us any.
Tell me who the supplier is, I'll give you the whole bottle.
Candy store.
Is that code for something?
No, it's a candy store.
Hepburn's candy store?
Yeah, it's been selling for years.
It's the truth.
Just go in there and tell him you have a headache. We'll see.
Outside Hepburn's sweet shop, Abe sits alone in Caroline's car. He shifts restlessly in his seat before slowly looking round. In the empty window of a shop for rent is a small faded poster showing a picture of the missing Gracie. As Abe continues to stare, the image of the smiling blonde-haired girl looms closer. The spell is broken as Abe turns to see Caroline exit the sweet shop carrying an ice cream.
What happened?
Nothing. I told him I had a headache.
Okay, what happened next?
I bought this ice cream. It was too awkward. Here, I got you this.
Thanks.
Abe looks away, exhaling deeply.
I think maybe those kids lied to you.
An anger is building in Abe.
Here comes the kid detective.
Abe slaps the young man off the wall.
Let me go!
Abe now hurls him down a grassy slope and kicks him along the ground.
Abe, stop!
Who is the supplier? Who is the supplier?
The Red Shoe Gang. How long have you lived in this fucking town?
Can it make you feel like a big man to beat up a kid?
Yes!
These girls are awesome.
Yeah, be careful. They're super addictive.
Running forwards, Abe hurls the boy over some yellow-flowered riverside greenery. Caroline is open-mouthed.
What now?
Take me to the steamer. It's time to talk to some adults.
Lines of motorbikes are parked up outside the boiler room bar. A stern-faced Abe enters through a curtain. In the dark bar, bikers turn to stare at him as he approaches a large bearded bouncer.
I'm here to see Clive Cunningham.
The bouncer removes the chocolate bar from his pocket.
No peanut products.
Right. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Abe descends a dark staircase towards a white door. Now, he strides down one corridor after another, before pushing open a door and entering another bar.
We need to talk about Patrick Chang.
A shaven-headed man who looks in charge turns from the bar and glares back at him. Another bald man looks to his boss.
No.
Looking away awkwardly, Abe turns and leaves the room, returning down a flickering corridor, out of the boiler room, before getting back into Caroline's car.
He wasn't there.
What does that mean?
We just have to work it from another angle.
Have those drugs worn off?
Yeah, I think so.
She gives a small nod. On a suburban street, Caroline's car pulls up outside a red brick house, a white balustrade lining the porch beside its front door.
I don't know, maybe we should call it a day.
What's the matter?
You realize if I go in there, we're really going to have to solve this thing.
Of course.
It's just, I find that kind of pressure can be counterproductive.
They glance at one another, before Abe moves to get out of the vehicle, causing Caroline to smile. Now inside the house, photos of Patrick cover a table as Abe sits facing a stern-faced man and woman.
I'm very sorry to have disturbed you. I know how devastating and deeply confusing these past few weeks must have been. It's beyond awful.
Do you have kids?
What? No.
So, you don't really understand what we're dealing with.
You're right. I'm sorry.
It's been 2 weeks, and the police haven't offered any clarity.
They're so preoccupied with the physical evidence that they sometimes can overlook the more complex psychological integers.
What does that mean?
Do you keep a lot of fruit in your kitchen?
We used to.
What did Patrick favor?
When he was a kid, he loved peaches.
And in the weeks before his death?
He ate a lot of bananas.
They're dry, which means no mess. No plate, no paper towels. You don't have to cut them up or even wash them. You see where I'm going with this?
No.
I think he may have been depressed.
Our son wasn't depressed.
I found these in his jacket. Open them up.
Mr. Chang opens the pill bottle and looks inside.
They're called ego boosters. Basically a mixture of coke and who knows what.
Someone must have planted them.
To make it look like a drug killing after the fact?
It hadn't occurred to you?
I'm open to all possibilities.
I realize it's probably easier to solve the murder of a drug dealer than a mild-mannered honor student. But these do not belong to our boy!
Lifting the pill bottle, Abe replaces it in his jacket pocket.
Patrick was cheating on his girlfriend.
With who?
I don't know. I haven't found her yet.
So how can you be sure?
His friend told me.
His friend told you and you treat it as fact?
No, Patrick had a picture in his locker.
Which you saw?
No.
Are you a detective? Or just some idiot to believe whatever he's told?
I've closed over 200 cases.
How many of the murders?
Abe turns his gaze to Mrs. Chang, who glares back at him, before he looks back at her husband.
Three.
The grieving father looks down swallowing, takes a deep breath, then fixes his gaze on Abe.
Then don't let me discourage you.
Mrs. Chang watches as her distraught husband departs up the stairs of their house. Abe glances towards her, attempts a comforting smile, then looks down once more. Turning to look at the detective, she reaches forwards and picks up a photograph. Holding it towards Abe, he takes it and looks at an image of Patrick holding up two fish he had caught.
He was a very private boy. We didn't even know about Caroline until she called us after his death. It's difficult to accept that you didn't know everything when you've loved someone so thoroughly.
I promise you, I will not rest until this case is solved and your family finds some source of peace.
Don't promise that. It's silly.
Can I hang on to this?
Sun shines through the branches of trees as they pass by. Caroline drives as Abe looks deep in thought before answering his phone.
What?
I think I found that tiger.
Really? How?
Social media. I keep telling you to get with the times.
Oh. Nice work.
A blonde-haired woman answers a door.
Hi, I'm looking for Melanie Miller.
A little old, aren't you?
I'm a private detective. I need to ask her some questions.
Give me the theatrics. She's in the basement with her sister.
Your mom seems nice.
She's getting to that age where she thinks she's too cool for me.
Who's Paul?
Some guy. Paid me $50 to write his name on my face.
Not bad.
I can wash it off in a week.
How much was Patrick paying you?
It wasn't like that. Patrick and I had some very deep conversations.
Oh, yeah? What was perplexing him?
He was very concerned about the environment and whether or not our distinct identities are just an illusion.
Impressive. Ever have any arguments?
No.
So you weren't jealous of his real girlfriend?
She's just a kid. Cute, but uncomplicated.
Did Patrick know his life was in danger?
The Red Shoe Gang had no reason to hurt him as long as he kept his grades up.
I'm not sure I follow.
Everyone had to submit their locker codes to the office as a result of all the drugs in the school. The principal could open them at any time. So, the suppliers had to recruit kids who were above suspicion.
So the nerds became the new dealers.
Whoever had the highest marks in each grade.
That's awesome.
Everyone knows smart kids have no spine. Doesn't take much to intimidate them.
Have the police found you yet?
No.
Figures. Thank you very much, ladies. Thanks for waiting. I know this is weird.
A puzzled Caroline looks over her shoulder.
What's the matter?
Car. It was with us at Patrick's house.
No way.
Do you think they're following us?
Let's find out.
As Caroline sets off, Abe checks over his shoulder. Looking back up the road, he watches the dark-coloured car set off following after them.
What the hell?
A worried-looking Caroline makes a right turn as Abe looks back to see the dark car take the same corner. Caroline's cream-coloured convertible speeds forwards, the dark car still close behind. Reaching a wide crossroads, they turn into another road. Their pursuers are now gaining on them, causing the convertible to take another swift left turn. A worried Abe looks back as Caroline checks her mirror.
Okay, this is stupid.
Okay, pull over here.
On a rain-soaked road, Caroline pulls the car to a halt. Abe looks back watching as the dark car does the same. The young woman joins him in staring back wide-eyed.
Are you gonna do something?
What?
I mean, someone's obviously following us. Isn't it safer to know who?
Yeah, I guess so.
Looking down as if building up courage, Abe gives Caroline a final brief glance, undoes his belt, and climbs out of the vehicle. He walks tentatively towards the dark car, looking back to meet the blonde-haired girl's concerned gaze before moving ever closer to the waiting car. As he nears, he slows, a look of realization dawning on his face.
No way.
Abe opens the door to reveal his parents.
What the hell are you doing?
We were worried about you.
Whose car is this?
Your uncle's.
You guys are unbelievable.
Are you out of your mind? We saw you walk into the boiler room.
How long have you been following me?
Since this morning.
Get
the fuck out of here. I am working.
Do you not understand how humiliating this is?
Wait.
Why would I back up?
The frustrated PI gets back into Caroline's car as she stares at him expectantly.
Who was it?
Reporters. The local paper.
Really?
Yeah.
What'd they want?
To follow our crumbs and break the case before we came. It happens all the time.
That's so cool.
It's irresponsible journalism.
Caroline shifts awkwardly. Later in the day, the sun shines warmly, silhouetting the leaves and branches of a tree. Seabirds pass across a hazy sky. Caroline's convertible exits a junction into another suburban road. The vehicle now pulls up by a red brick building.
be able to help much tomorrow.
Why not?
It's school day. The principal always calls if I miss class.
Your parents seem pretty cool. Not letting you drive the car, at least.
It's because they're dead. I live with my grandparents.
Sorry, I didn't realize.
I was really young.
How did they die?
Downhill skiing.
Both of them?
It was a very blustery day.
In some ways, you're lucky. My parents are always on my ass. Sorry, that was really insensitive.
I love my grandparents. It's just not the same. Pretty old.
Must be lonely.
I don't know. I've always felt like there was this other presence watching over me. Do you believe in that sort of thing?
Yeah. Sure. Why not?
Good luck tomorrow. Let me know what you find.
Sure thing.
Abe walks away from the car as it pulls off in the opposite direction. Sat behind his desk, the exasperated Principal Irwin removes his glasses as Abe appears in the doorway.
What are you doing here, Abe? You know you're not allowed on school property.
A man just walked into your office.
I know.
I have the same problem.
What do you want?
To talk about Patrick Chang.
You can't be serious.
His girlfriend hired me.
Is she okay?
All things considered, I don't think it's really hit her yet.
I'll help you with yours. You help me with mine. One of the custodians found some broken beakers in the science lab this morning. Mrs. Hirschhold noticed some footprints on the floor of the gym. What?
Overnighters.
Excuse me?
Kids who stay at the school over the weekend.
How long has this been going on?
I don't know. Seems like a pretty established subculture.
The exhausted-looking older man rubs a hand over his eyes.
So, what can you tell me about Patrick?
He was a quiet kid. He used to mouth the national anthem, as if we couldn't tell.
Is that it?
No. I was warned that he might be mixed up in something about a week before his death.
By who?
One of his friends. I'm too old to keep the name straight.
Was he tall and ugly, or portly and pathetic?
He was a bit heavy, yes.
Calvin?
Mm-hmm. I checked Patrick's locker. I couldn't find anything.
Another fight in the girls' restroom.
Who is it this time?
Both Beckys.
What am I supposed to do, Abe? These kids have no concept of authority.
I don't know, dude.
Maybe there's more nobility in just giving up.
Maybe.
The two men eye one another before Abe looks away. Inside Calvin's house, a net curtain billows out by a window. Suddenly, a figure appears pushing through it. Abe tumbles onto the floor. Pulling himself up, he closes the window and gets to his feet, passing by the framed photo of Calvin and his family. Now in the kitchen, Abe opens a Tupperware box, then takes a large bite from a cupcake. Entering a bedroom, Abe approaches a desktop computer and leaning down taps at the mouse. The screen lights up, but requires a password. Pulling open a drawer, it's filled with candy bars. Abe pockets a PT bar, then moving more confectionery aside, locates a scrap of paper.
I only get one life, one body. I'm trapped in a teapot. harmless shell with no hard edges. No one can see how much love and violence I have inside my soul. Jesus Christ. How to make her understand I'm the one who really sees her, who knows what she's worth, who would never mock her innocence or take advantage of her trust.
Abe considers this, looking down deep in thought before placing the paper in his pocket. Tapping at the keyboard, the password unlocks the desktop.
That's motive, motherfucker.
Clicking on the mouse, mathematic exam papers are displayed. Closing the drawer, Abe creeps stealthily towards the white doors of a built-in closet and carefully steps inside. Peering through the slats, he watches as Calvin enters and sits down at the computer. The teenager stares at the maths tests, then clicks on a music player. He nods along to the music. The watching Abe closes his eyes. Later, still sat at the computer, Calvin continues rocking his head sagely to the rhythm. Abe remains in the closet.
Please? What are you doing home already?
Last period spare.
Want me to fix you a snack?
No thanks, I'm not hungry.
Reaching down, the duplicitous boy slides open his treat drawer, removes a candy bar and takes a bite. A watching Abe shakes his head. Now Calvin plays Pong on the computer, the electronic paddles knocking the ball back and forth. Abe looks exhausted as he watches a young girl enter and approach Calvin.
Mom wants to just set the table.
Doing homework.
No, you're not.
I said it last night.
Okay.
She leaves him to continue playing the game.
Calvin, come down here, please.
Bitch.
A relieved Abe watches him go. Then slowly opening the closet door, steps out into the room. Closing it over behind him. Now Abe appears out of a door onto a landing at the top of some stairs, creeping forwards as he begins to descend. Passing a halfway point, Abe pokes his head out around a corner. The front door is at the bottom of the stairs and the hallway empty as Abe edges down ever closer, carefully taking one step at a time.
Where are you going?
I need to pee!
Abe retreats hurriedly upstairs. The young girl follows after as he squeezes himself into another open cupboard. The door won't shut, but the girl passes by oblivious. The bathroom door now closed, Abe makes a quick break into another room, and spying a similar closet as before, secretes himself inside once more. Silently berating himself, he stares out through the slats, watching as the young girl enters, sits down, and opening a laptop begins to play her own game of Pong. Abe opens his mouth, then closes his eyes slowly in frustration. An exasperated Abe squeezes his eyes shut.
What did she say? But I thought she liked Jake.
Time for bed, honey.
Okay, 5 minutes. Benji's an idiot. He didn't even know what a kayak was.
The young girl is now in bed as her mother tucks her in, kisses her head and switches off a lamp.
Mom, I'm scared.
Of what?
I think I heard something in the closet.
Come on, Jackie, I thought we were past this. Too old for all this monster nonsense.
Sorry.
Go to sleep.
The door closed, only a small sliver of light illuminates the girl lying in the darkness. Perspiration covers the exhausted Abe's brow as he struggles to keep his eyes open. Jackie rolls over onto her back and settles into place. A wide-eyed Abe holds a hand to his mouth. Now Constable Cleary sits glaring out of one eye at an ashamed Abe who avoids his gaze.
That kid is traumatized. The family is furious.
Did you explain?
What the hell was I supposed to say? Like you're some wandering mental patient?
A private detective?
She's 9 years old.
I was investigating the older brother. I got trapped in the house.
In connection to what?
The Patrick Chang murder.
Who hired you for a homicide?
His girlfriend.
I hope you're not charging her.
What have you found so far?
We can't talk about that. It's an active investigation.
Abe continues to look away as the police officer purses his lips.
Why didn't you call me back after Gracie got kidnapped?
Because you were 12.
So? I'd helped you before.
How would it have looked? The police chief consulting with a child in the middle of our town's greatest crisis.
You weren't the chief back then.
Well, lucky for you, I am now. I'll see what I can work out with the family. Convince them to drop criminal charges.
Thank you.
This has to stop, Abe. Gracie was not your responsibility. But neither is this. You can't run around calling yourself a detective and expect everyone else to play along. You know, I've always liked you. But at a certain point, we've all got to grow up. Maybe this is that opportunity.
Abe nods, seemingly accepting this fact, as the police officer looks down regretfully.
Your parents posted your bail.
A glazed-looking Abe nods. Now sat in the back of a car, a glassy-eyed Abe leans his head against the window, staring out into the night. The silver car travels off down a long, dark street. Now a rally car splashes through a river on a video game. Sat on his sofa, Abe holds the console controller in his hands, a whiskey bottle and glass on the coffee table before him. Leaning forwards, he picks up his mobile phone, checks the screen, then reluctantly answers.
Hello?
You finally made the paper again.
What does it say?
That you were found masturbating in a little girl's bedroom.
I wasn't masturbating.
He is close to tears.
I believe you.
Now knelt over a toilet, Abe retches as he vomits into the bowl, his hand holding onto a shelf behind the cistern for balance.
I'm really sorry, man. My friend really needs to get in there.
A black and white movie plays on a TV.
Who's the maid?
Caroline is ringing Abe's phone. He rejects the call, then tosses the phone down. Watching the movie, Abe's brow furrows as a maid answers a door and a hooded figure raises a dagger before repeatedly stabbing her. Abe turns the TV off. Now he greets a young man at his front door.
Thanks for coming, man. Just been drinking too much, you know? But just
tell me you love me. Cigarette ends fill a yellow glass ashtray. As sat on his sofa, Abe wrenches open a chocolate bar wrapper and takes a bite of the chewy caramel confectionery, closing his eyes as he savours its taste. Opening the front door, Caroline stands before him.
Hey, what are you doing here?
I'm sorry, but you weren't answering my calls.
Yeah, I've been busy, and you're not paying me, so I had to prioritize.
I found another paper flower in my locker.
Okay.
What do you think it means?
That they were never coming for Patrick.
What?
Origami is Japanese. He probably just took credit for it because he started talking to him.
Oh my god. I'm such a racist.
Relax, it's not that bad.
Well, then who's making them?
Probably Calvin. He's in love with you.
What? How do you know that?
Reaching in his jacket pocket, Abe hands over the scrap of paper from Calvin's drawer. Unfolding it, Caroline reads from it, then glances at Abe.
I'm sorry, I gotta get up.
The door closes over on her. Now back sitting on his sofa, Abe looks pained as his flatmate appears in a doorway.
Are you ever gonna get dressed?
Why?
I have people coming over.
In the middle of the week?
It's fucking Friday, man.
For real?
As Abe remains on the sofa, his flatmate and a dark-haired young woman smile as they dance together. Pulling apart one of the blue and white capsules, a white powder is emptied onto the coffee table. Using a rolled-up tube, Abe snorts the substance up his nose. A tall glass bong also sat before him. Flashing back, a young Abe watches a TV advert asking for any information regarding Gracie's disappearance. The adult Abe closes his eyes, racks up another line, then sniffs it from the table. In flashback, Gracie drinks from the straw of a soda bottle, then answers the phone of Abe's detective office. More white lines are tapped out with a credit card and sniffed up by Abe, his memories haunting him. Darkness. Bathed in a yellow light, Abe opens his eyes to find himself lying amongst a mass of rubbish.
What the hell?
He pulls himself up.
What?
Searching frantically amongst the detritus, the fully naked Abe hauls himself forwards. A red graffiti-covered door opens, and a clothed Abe looks out into an alleyway. Slowly stepping forwards, he allows the door to close behind him. As he reaches in his pocket and answers his phone.
Caroline?
Where are you? I'm outside your place.
You are?
You called me at midnight, remember?
I did. You might have to refresh my memory.
You said you wouldn't rest until this case is solved and my family found some sort of peace.
A picturesque three-story house sits at a junction. Inside, Abe is reflected in a small mirror as he showers washing under his arms with soap. In a kitchen, Caroline uses a knife to slice up pieces of lemon. Abe looks at a framed photograph.
Are these your parents?
Yeah.
They're very photogenic.
I know.
And these are your grandparents?
Mm-hmm.
Where are they right now?
Probably out feeding pigeons.
She drops lemon into a mug of water.
Thanks.
Abe blows on the liquid, takes a sip, then looks down ashamed as the doe-eyed Caroline stares towards him.
I need to apologize for the other day.
It's okay.
Sorry I had to see me like that. I was in a really bad place. I got arrested.
I know.
You saw the paper?
I went to your office. Your secretary showed me.
What a cunt. The people in this town used to look up to me. Even the adults. I was so far ahead of the game, and then one day I just woke up behind.
What do you mean?
A few years ago, I heard my roommate talking about me when he thought I wasn't home, and he called me a detective, in quotes. I could hear him doing this with his fingers. It's difficult to accept the difference between who you are in your head and who you are in the world.
I know what you mean.
You do?
People act like I've never seen a restricted movie before or stayed up past midnight.
Even my own boyfriend saw me as this little girl.
Don't blame yourself for what that kid did to you. Experience is overrated. The world has enough assholes. It's been a while since I've known anyone like you. Reminds me why I got into this business.
Caroline smiles. Lifting his white mug, Abe takes another drink.
Your clothes are ready.
Autumnal yellow leaves flutter on a tree outside the grey buildings of Willowbrook's main street. Abe enters the reception of his office, stops as he glances around, then closes over the door. Stepping through the dimly lit room, every surface is covered in empty beer bottles and other rubbish. As he approaches the reception desk, a figure sits behind it with their head down, resting on their arms.
What the hell happened?
I had some friends over.
The door's unlocked. What if a client came in?
I wouldn't worry about that now that you're the town pedophile.
Your phone's off the hook. I wanted to make sure you were okay.
Wow.
Abe enters his office. Now approaching his own desk, he carries a glass of whiskey in his hand. Pulling a chair towards him, he sits down. Light streaming in through the blind-covered windows behind, he takes a sip of his drink before placing it down. Looking down, he picks up a small round piece of yellow paper.
What is this thing?
That girl left it for you the other day from her dead boyfriend.
Poor Calvin.
Abe examines the neatly folded piece of paper, which resembles a rose. Unfolding, then pulling it out into a flat square, he stops as he stares down at it. A look of realization is formed on the detective's face as he flattens the paper onto his desk, small triangular and diamond shapes visible across its once folded surface. Abe's father answers a door.
I need the key to the garage.
Now entering a large, dimly lit garage, Abe looks around purposefully. His eyes locating two cardboard boxes, the name Gracie written on their end in black pen, he lifts one down from a shelf. Removing the lid, Abe searches through its contents, sifting through a pile of papers. Unable to find what he's looking for, Abe returns to the shelf, slides out another box, then retrieves a file from within. Lifting another two boxes out, he piles a third on top, its lid labelled Gracie's desk. Removing its lid, he begins to lift out its contents, including a magazine and framed photo. In the darkness of the base of the box, a yellow square of paper is visible. Lifting it out, Abe holds it up in the light to reveal the same triangular pattern folded across its now flattened surface. Abe's pinboards of photos and notes on Gracie's case are lit up in the garage as he stands staring at them, his phone held to his ear.
Hello?
I need you to stay home tomorrow.
What? Why?
It isn't safe. They're not coming from Calvin.
Now in the darkness of his bedroom, Abe lies in bed awake, staring upwards. In the blackness above, two glow-in-the-dark stars still shine. Daytime. Abe approaches a screen door on a porch, opening it onto a blue front door. The woman of the missing cat case answers.
Have you found my cat yet?
No. I actually completely forgot about that. I'm here to talk about your daughter.
Abe opens the door onto a bright bedroom with flower-patterned wallpaper. The room is in pristine condition, as if occupied, as a sad-looking Mrs. Gulliver follows in behind.
He preserved her bedroom.
The house hasn't been touched since Bert died.
Yeah, my parents just redid mine.
She looks at him in disbelief. Abe bends down before a dressing table and begins to open drawers as Mrs. Gulliver watches on intrigued. Leaving one drawer open, Abe reaches to the back and lifts out one of the delicately folded flowers, this time made from white paper.
Do you know where this came from?
She shakes her head.
She never said anything about a secret admirer?
Who could keep track? Is everything okay?
Yeah. Nothing to worry about.
Find my cat, Abe. I'm lonely.
He nods. Now back sat at the bar, the bearded barman hands Abe a pint of beer.
Everything all right, Abe?
Yeah. Why?
Nobody real comes in before five.
My mind's running races. I need to relax.
What happened the other week with Roy Beans?
He beat the shit out of me.
Why don't you just apologize?
For what? No one forced him to steal the fundraiser money.
He didn't do it, man.
What?
Why do you think he hates you so much?
The barman leaves Abe sat alone. He looks down deep in thought considering this fact, and his face shows a flicker of realization. A red neon sign shines behind the detective's head as he takes a drink from his pint glass.
He stole the fundraiser money from the principal's office.
What was it for?
Animal rescue.
Rory Beans was bit by a dog last summer.
Who did that?
Some idiot I got suspended 20 years ago.
He's still pissed.
Leaving his half-drunk pint glass on the bar, Abe quickly rises and leaves. Now his baseball boots pace quickly down a pavement.
Everyone had to submit their locker codes to the office.
I found another paper flower in my locker.
She never said anything about a secret admirer.
I've always felt like there was this other presence watching over me.
Abe rushes onwards.
Yeah?
Hey, I need you to check the date on the first Rory Beans case.
Are you serious?
There's a chance he was set up. I might know it's really making those flowers.
Now Abe appears around a corner into the backyard behind a red brick house. Ducking under a fence, he approaches a window but cannot open it. Now at the front door of the house, he looks in through a narrow window, then a larger one to its side, before moving off. A foot kicks through a small window into a basement. Now inside, Abe appears through a door into the hallway of the house, checking other rooms as he passes by. Approaching a tall wooden cabinet, the private detective pulls open two large deep wooden drawers before rooting around in a smaller drawer. Entering a bedroom, he checks another chest of drawers. Beneath a sheet in a bottom drawer, Abe finds a box hidden. Lifting it out, the small leather-bound container has a lock on its front. Reaching in his pocket, Abe produces a paperclip, which he unfolds before inserting it in the lock. Waggling the thin piece of metal up and down, Abe then extracts it from the box and swiftly flips open the lid. He flicks through a selection of photos, settling on a Polaroid picture of the young, naked blonde woman in the tiger mask. A shocked Abe turns and closes the box, replacing it in the drawer before sliding it shut. He approaches a closet and slides its door open. Thinking better of that as a hiding place, the dark-haired detective closes it back over and, bending down, slips under beneath a bed. A concerned-looking Abe's eyes flit around, following the sounds in the house. As Abe watches, a pair of legs wearing blue jeans and brown shoes pace slowly into the room, passing by his hiding place. Abe follows the feet as they pass by him once more and stops before the chest of drawers. Bending down, the unseen figure picks up the paperclip. Frustrated at his own carelessness, Abe closes his eyes, then opening them, continues staring at the mysterious feet ahead.
Abe, I know you're in the closet.
from under the bed.
A ceiling fan spins quickly perched above four glass lampshades. A stony-faced Abe sits in a dimly lit room.
Why aren't you at school?
Principal Erwin stares back at him.
It's Sunday. What are you doing here, Abe?
Do you remember the first case you ever brought me?
No.
Somebody stole the cash box from the school fundraiser.
That was the last year we had one.
I think I might have made a mistake. Implicated the wrong kid.
Who cares? Wasn't this years ago?
He found it in his desk the next day.
I don't understand.
You were just testing me, weren't you? Trying to see how my head worked. If I was really as smart as everyone said.
Why would I care to do that?
Gracie was kidnapped a week later.
What are you asking me?
Are you the bad guy?
I'm an educator, Abe. I hope you understand how even the most outlandish claim could tarnish my career. Stir doubts about my character.
I found the picture you stole from Patrick's locker. You thought it was Caroline, didn't you? In the tiger mask.
It wasn't. Are you sure?
I know about the paper flowers. You killed her boyfriend. You wanted someone innocent. Untouched, just like Gracie. You thought he'd ruined her for you.
Gracie wasn't innocent. She used to stop by my office just to show me her outfits.
She was 14.
Of all people, you should appreciate the relativity of age. That girl got what she always wanted. She would have loved to see this place. Her face on every telephone pole. People marching through the marshes, arm in arm. For a month, the whole country knew her name.
I should have seen it. I could have saved her.
You were just a kid. No one expected you to find her.
She did.
Abe, I watched you grow up with the weight of the entire town on your conscience. I always felt a little sorry for you. No child could survive that.
What happened to her?
She didn't last long. Her spirit went soft. After I gave our daughter away.
What?
Everyone knows me here. I can't have a newborn suddenly appear out of nowhere. It wasn't easy, leaving Caroline on the steps for those decrepit church mice. But I knew they wouldn't ask any questions. My only consolation was watching her mature with such grace and sensibility. I took something beautiful, but I gave something back. Something better. Balance was restored.
His eyes firmly fixed on the deluded man, Abe reaches in his pocket, produces the photo of Patrick, and slides it across the table. Principal Erwin moves it in front of himself, looks down at it, then closes his eyes as Abe regards him disdainfully.
I was relieved when I first heard they were dating. He seemed sort of sexless and irrelevant. Congratulations, Abe. You've solved your first murder.
What now?
A sinister look forms in the old man's eyes as he reaches down and, producing a knife, flicks it open to reveal a sharp, curved blade. He holds it out towards Abe and swallows as the PI stares back at him.
I'm not afraid of you.
The principal's face suddenly breaks into a warm smile.
Nobody is.
A worried Abe watches him.
There's a reason I always obliged you, Abe. We both know how it feels when nobody takes you seriously. Now they'll know what we were capable of.
The wide-eyed Abe can only watch as the old man plunges the blade into his own heart. The psychotic man shudders as he removes the knife, a patch of blood forming on his checked shirt, before stabbing himself once more. Principal Erwin holds the handle tightly, keeping the blade in place before slowly releasing his grip. Three streaks of blood pour down from the growing pool around the knife. Abe is open-mouthed, his breathing shallow as the kidnapper and murderer's head flops back. Abe begins to relax. The dying man spits a stream of blood from his mouth running down his chin and onto his shirt. He looks straight at Abe before his breathing ceases. The shocked detective remains seated. The fan in the roof above spins rapidly as it looms closer. Now on his feet, Abe passes by the blood-stained body of the dead man and enters the kitchen behind him. Stood over a sink, he approaches a fridge and, opening the door, retrieves a beer bottle, removing its cap before thirstily gulping it as he attempts to compose himself. His breathing now more regular, a look of realisation forms on Abe's face, and he opens the fridge door once more, focusing on the many bottles of grape soda stored within. Reaching for a net curtain over the glass panel of a door, he pulls it back and, looking out, his sad-eyed gaze falls on a dark green shed situated at the bottom of the garden. Abe lets the curtain fall back into place. Now outside, Abe slowly approaches the unassuming structure. Nearing the door, he stops, a look of anxiety on his face as he stares towards it and reaches forwards. In pitch black, a crack of light appears as the door is opened, and Abe stands framed in the doorway. At the far end of the structure, a large blonde-haired girl sits huddled on the floor, a mustard yellow blanket wrapped around her shoulders. She looks up and stares towards Abe, who looks straight back at her. Glancing down, Abe spots a folded orange paper rose sat on a blanket. Hung from the ceiling is a makeshift mobile also decorated with the origami flowers. An empty soda bottle sits on a table. The confused young woman holds a piece of paper in her hand as she stares back towards Abe. Trees are silhouetted against a grey sky as wispy clouds slowly pass across.
Found her.
What are you talking about? My cat is a boy.
I found her.
What?
She's too scared to talk to me.
Ellis 32, I solved the case of the Willowbrook kidnapper. It was Ellis Irwin, the evil principal.
A bright orange sun is now only a sliver on the horizon as it sets, casting a warm glow onto the sky. Waking up in bed, Abe rolls over. Sitting up, he reaches for his phone sat upon a bedside table. Now he stands before a bathroom mirror regarding himself as he brushes his teeth.
Gracie's discovery remained a national news story for weeks. I was the kid detective who never gave up. The governor presented me with a medal. Rory Beans accepted a handshake. The widow Gulliver called me a hero. I think her cat is probably dead, though.
A gaggle of geese float out across a pond. Outside Caroline's house, two young boys ride on bikes. Abe walks alone down Willowbrook Main Street.
It was like the whole town returned to color overnight. People came out for the potato festival for the first time in 18 years.
Morning, Abe.
Abe smiles and nods to the barber. Now entering the reception of his office, three clients are sat waiting. Lucy reads a magazine, Gracie's photo on its front cover.
Even Lucy started looking at me differently.
Looking up from her magazine, she stares at Abe blankly.
Wait. She's in there.
Abe turns to his office door and hesitantly approaches, stops, then enters. Sat facing away from Abe in the seat before his desk is Caroline. She turns back in his direction as he approaches.
Caroline. How are you?
I'm okay.
Abe moves towards his seat and sits down as a now more jaded Caroline looks at him, then to the blank wall where his framed newspaper cuttings once hung.
What happened to your office?
I had to take the old headlines down. Look too stupid.
Feels pretty empty.
Are you back at school?
Not yet.
It's good. You should take your time.
No one really knows what to say to me.
And your grandparents?
They're still pretty confused. They thought I was a gift from Jesus, not some pedophile rapist.
I'm sorry.
It's not like you didn't warn me. No matter how simple a case may seem, it's always shocking what you find.
I was just being pretentious.
Still, isn't it better to know the truth?
Staring back at her, Abe breaks his gaze away, before Caroline does the same.
Well, at least you saved Gracie.
Yeah, sort of. Has she reached out to you yet?
She's just a kid.
Abe takes this in, then looks down. Now back at home, Abe opens the door into his kitchen and welcomes in his smiling mother and father.
Hi. Can I get you tea or something?
Oh, no. Thank you. We're okay.
They sit in two armchairs facing Abe, who is sat on the sofa.
How are you enjoying the extra space?
It's great.
Not a little lonely without Corey?
He's kind of a deadbeat.
Oh. It's so tidy.
Yeah, I hired a cleaning lady.
Oh. Oh, did you see you were in another magazine?
It's a story that touches people.
Hmm. Getting any money out of that?
It's good for business.
You seem tired.
Yeah, I've been having a little trouble sleeping.
Why? What's wrong?
It's nothing. The floor creaks at night.
You know, they called us for a quote. I hope you don't mind.
He shakes his head before averting his gaze from his mother. Abe's father regards him, then also stares down before looking to his wife.
Are you all right?
Looking down with eyes closed, Abe's face begins to crumple.
Abe.
What's the matter?
Sat alone on the sofa, the private detective's body shudders as he sobs. Abe's mother looks from her husband to her son, unsure of what to do. Abe's father can only watch on open-mouthed as his son releases the years of pent-up emotions. The end.
Sugar Town. If I had $1 million or ten, I'd give it to your world and then you'd go away and let me spend my life in Sugar, 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 Sugar Town.